So welcome everybody to another week of Turning Towards Life with Justin and Lizzie from Third Space. We're here again. It's a Sunday morning here in the UK, and I can feel my deep, deep gladness, Lizzie, to be in this conversation one more time. And I want to say welcome to everyone. There's so many different ways in which you're joining us. So in all the different ways that you're here with us, welcome. This is the 222nd week of our project, I think. Anyway, I liked the symmetry of the numbers, so it felt good to say that. But we're still doing this so far into this. I called it a project, Lizzie, but it's a practice, isn't it? It's a path that we're walking together. And what we're going to do is, this week is exactly what we've done every week, which is to take a wonderful life-giving source, some words that, Lizzie, you've brought into our field, and then open up into a conversation with one another. Who knows where it will go? It will go somewhere. And as I was saying to someone this week, it's really it's a practice in receiving. It's a practice in receiving the source and receiving ourselves and one another. Mm-hmm. And to everyone who's with us, we know that that's what you're doing too, is receiving this and then having it change you or shape you or inspire you or open something in you. So thank you for doing that. I want to say just one thing by way of sort of invitation, which is many of you are part of our Facebook group, and you're all welcome to join our Facebook group. Just search for Turning Towards Life. But we also have this lovely website, turningtowards.life. And if you head over there, you can, if you want, put your email address in and get an email each week with the source and the imagery and links to both the audio and the video of this conversation. So it's Turning Towards Life direct into your inbox, which is something relatively new that we've been doing. So I wanted to make sure you know about that. And Lizzie, thank you for doing this, for being so faithful to this path that we're walking together.
Thank you, Justin. It's a very lovely intro to us all. And we're on episode 222, like you just said, and it reminds me that Vespa, my little one, is two, as you know. Whenever I say, how old are you, she always says 22, which just reminded me of the kind of the goodness of the twos, because it's just easy to say that 22. So I don't know if you can hear all the kerfuffling behind me, but Vespa's slamming doors. And anyway, so yeah, I'm, as always, deeply grateful for this marker in the week of being together, Justin. So thank you for all of your being here as well, and our mutual, I think it's become kind of ingrained now. Like everyone in my family knows, everyone in the system knows. Like, Lizzie has to do this thing on Sunday morning. And wherever we are, everyone galvanizes themselves towards it. So when I show up here, it's not just me showing up, it's all the things that have to happen wherever I am, but everyone knows it's what happens on a Sunday morning. So I'm really grateful for everything as well in your system and mine that allows us to be here. It's very generous. So there was one thing I wanted to say about this today. What was it? I think it will come up just as we're talking, actually. But it's to do with the way that this is being received in the world and the conversations I have about it. And when people talk to me about other things, this always comes up in it. So I'm feeling the centrality of this in the rest of everything that happens in Third Space as well, and being in appreciation of that. And today we have a poem by Janina Sims, who is our dear friend and colleague in all of this Third Space business. And I'm going to read it, and you can read it, Justin, and we'll see where this goes. But just to say thank you to Nina for being a person who expresses just the way that she does, and what a huge invitation I find her writing to me. And we're going to share this with everyone today. So this is called There Are Days When. There are days when I'm bored rigid by my singular story. I wear it like a prize or a prism. Who might this soul be if it had been sown in different soil? I long to forsake my temperate fields for exotic climes. Of course I do. But how small a leap an opposite is. The same story, niftly rebranded. A story of endless wants, of this but not that, of this feeling, not this feeling but that one, not this father but that one, not this lover but that one, not this job but that one, not this loss but, no, not that one either. Perhaps there are days when this soul seed carried by the elements and watered with love can grow a host of stories, stories of endless vows, of this and this. Yes, this joy and this sorrow. Yes, this adventure and this homecoming. Yes, this freedom and this constraint. Yes, this loss and yes, this one too. A host of stories beyond compare, beyond comparison.
Thank you, Lizzie. So I'm going to read this too, with my huge thanks to Nina for writing this and being a co-conspirator in everything that we do, and for being so generous, Nina, with your language and your gifts. And for everyone who's listening, one of the ways to get to meet Nina at some point, if you want to, is head over to wearethirdspace.org and see all the different events and programs that we put on over there, particularly around coaching, because it's a wonderful way to come into Nina's presence. But here we have you, Nina, in your words this morning. And maybe just for all of us, take a moment to settle and soften and receive this. There are days when I'm bored, rigid by my singular story. I wear it like a prize or a prison. Who might this soul be if it had been sown in different soil? I long to forsake my temperate fields for exotic climes. Of course I do. But how small a leap an opposite is. The same story, niftily rebranded. A story of endless wants, of not this, but that, not this feeling, but that one, not this father, but that one, not this lover, but that one, not this job, but that one, not this loss, but no, not that one either. Perhaps there are days when this soul seed carried by the elements and watered with love can grow a host of stories, stories of endless vows, of this and this, yes, this joy and this sorrow, yes, this adventure and this homecoming, yes, this freedom and this constraint, yes, this loss and yes, this one too. A host of stories beyond compare, beyond comparison.
Mm. Thanks, Justin. Oh. So, Justin, the line that has leapt out at me this time of reading, this time of receiving, is, but how small a leap an opposite is, the same story niftily rebranded. And somehow it speaks to me of all the times that I make a kind of fruitless exchange, but it's at the same kind of level, so it never satisfies me. So I'm just trying to think of an example. Like if I say I'm gonna do this and not that, as if it's some revolutionary move, if it doesn't have some kind of consciousness in it that deepens something or that's more meaningful, it always ends up being the same kind of, oh, it's not quite, it didn't fill me up in the way that I intended it to. So I'm feeling really, and of course Nina goes to kind of put detail onto that, like, oh, I don't want to feel this, I want to feel that. But because it's an exchange in the same way, in the same level or something, it doesn't do the thing that I thought changing tack would do, because it's the same experience. Whereas if I would to be allowed in myself to carry this and that, and it wasn't an or thing, I feel like there's a possibility for enrichment rather than singularity. And this was the thing I was thinking about before. I was in a conversation with someone this week about Turning Towards Life and our professional coaching course that we run and all that kind of thing. And she said, you know, she's a new mum. Well, she's a mum of two children, and one of them is fairly new. So she's, you know, thrown into the world of two children. And she said, you know, the thing I appreciate most about the work that we've all done together in the PCC and in Turning Towards Life and all of the things, is that I know now that there are allowed to be many things present at once. So I can feel exhausted and delighted, and I can feel really sad and grief-filled at the same time as really happy. And she said, I've learned that I was taught that you had to kind of be one thing. You had to stand by it. You're either happy or you're sad. You're either okay or you're not okay. And she said the biggest gift to her and the most life-giving thing has been to feel the multitudes of things present at once and know that that's completely okay. And somehow her capacity in her body also has grown to be able to hold opposites, even like really far opposites. And it really showed me and taught me something about what it is that we're doing. And it really resonated with me too, as well, that it feels so constraining to say or to land somewhere totally. Like it almost doesn't feel true to say the only thing I am is annoyed right now, because I'm also like finding this really funny at the same time. Or, you know, there seems to be really true in my experience that many more things are happening at once than just one thing. And it's of the order of this second piece about the host of stories, which is that maybe there's a host of things going on at any one moment. And with this invitation from Nina to see that we can grow a host of stories simultaneously that are equally as valid, as welcome as another, the kind of richness that I sense and feel about life is so extraordinary. Whereas if I have to pick something and narrow it down and stand somewhere very particular at any one time, it just doesn't feel true to what my experience is. Like I'd have to deny and pretend and cut things off in order to be the thing that is allowed. And it doesn't feel right anymore.
Mm-hmm. Seems to me, actually, the phrase that was coming up, Lizzie, whilst you were talking, is one from my own tradition, from the Jewish tradition. The ancient rabbis talk about cultivating, I think I've said this, I'm sure I've said this to you, may have said this on Turning Towards Life, cultivating a many-chambered heart.
Yeah.
Which is exactly this. It's our capacity to say yes to this joy and to this sorrow and this adventure and this homecoming. Well, I can feel in the way that you're talking about it, what's really deeply impacting me is that, and I think this is going to be a little bit hard to find a good way to put in language, but I'll do my best. Which is, it's in a way, it's sort of conceptually easy to say, yes, this and this. Oh yes, this can be true and this can be true. But to really, as Nina is inviting us to really live right in the midst of multiple stories and possibilities, to allow ourselves to be, not just to hold them as an idea, but to be shaped by them and to participate in them, to be involved in them, to feel our joy and our sorrow at the same time, is a different thing from the intellectual move of being able to say, well, there's what seems true to you over there and what seems true to me over here, and somehow I can entertain the possibility that there might be truth in both of them. That's a useful step, but really being able to feel right in the midst of our lives that there's always more than one story here. That's the deepening move, it seems to me, the liberating move. And I speaking about this from the really from the inside of my own experience right now, because I also notice how easy it is to forget the second half of this. So I will so very often have the strong sense that there's a particular something that's true about me and my life and the relationships I'm in the middle of and how things are going and what my life is for and where it's pointing. And the more certain I am about that, the more I find myself longing for exactly what you said was a sort of like, in a way, a simplistic exchange. I could have imagined, well, if I wasn't here, I'd be over there and that would be better. If I wasn't with these people, I'd be with those people and then that would be better. If I wasn't doing this work, I would be doing that. That story has two really problematic effects. So one is it reinforces the sense that there is just one story, that somehow I have to get out of this story, I have to escape it, or I think more commonly for me, I'm stuck in this. And I've also got all kinds of explanations about how I got stuck in feeling so sad or so afraid or so whatever. So then this revolutionary invitation that you were just talking about, that I know that is, I love that what you were saying, that it's at the heart of our work, it's at the heart of really of turning towards life, and it's at the heart of the coaching that we're teaching and that we practice and the communities we make, is there's a host of stories, and I'm just going to pick really specifically on Nina's language here, there's a host of stories that we can grow and water that can be life-giving stories, which are all, at least to start with, of the form, yes, this and this. I am both terribly sad or terribly afraid, and there's something in me and of me that is not that, in which something else can grow. Or when I'm sure that something, one thing is true about you, Lizzie, whatever it is, particularly if it's something that seems like, so easy to miss one another by taking there to be one thing that's true about another person.
Yeah.
When we can grow in ourselves life-giving, truthful stories about one another and about what's in between us, then something else can flourish. And I it's not just, I suppose what I'm trying to reach for here is, it's not just the act of going, oh yes, I know that there could be multiple stories. It's the living of and nourishing and watering other stories and living in the truth of them that makes this adventure and this homecoming that Nina talks about true at the same time. And that feels more to me like a path that we walk, something that we get up to again and again and again, rather than something we just think about.
Absolutely. Gosh, there's so many things to say. So right now there's multitudes in me of what I could say. They're all next to each other. There isn't one thing to say right now. And so I'm also not sure I can say the thing I feel most drawn towards, but I'll try. Which is that you were talking about relationship with others, where, you know, many times I might think something about you where it's a really narrow view, and you're really mean, or you're unkind, or you don't know what you're talking about. You know, I could have, and I think that's kind of the weird nature of feeling judgmental, is it's so narrowing of people. And certainly what happens to me is like I become blinkered to someone's beauty when I'm thinking that they're, I don't know, horrible to me or something. And of course, in that moment, there's so many things about a person, as you're saying. And to walk a path of of not believing everything we think is quite something. And it goes for the relationship between me and you. It really serves to not pigeonhole you and make you into something singular, in because to you that's not a nice experience, because it's not true about you that you're just this one thing that I'm judging you for right now. It's just not true in your experience, because you know that you're 100 other things too, and you're probably not even thinking that I'm that thing. So you're feeling completely unseen. So in order for our relationship to survive, we have to practice seeing the multitudes. We have to practice saying, this is how I'm feeling about you right now, and I also know there's a hell of a lot more about you than maybe I don't know, and also maybe I do know, I'm just somehow forgetting it right now. But the discipline of remembering, self-remembering and other remembering, feels really important. So there's a relationship between you and I there. But the thing that just arose for me out of that was that when we can allow this joy and this sorrow to both be here, I feel like there's a way that the parts of us that are simultaneously welcomed then get to relate to each other in a different way. Like when only sorrow is allowed to be here, the joy is feeling that kind of oustedness, like it's not welcome. But if they're both allowed to be here, what does it mean for the different parts of us to be in relationship with each other? And if they can be in relationship with each other in the moment, right here, there's a possibility of a greater wholeness. Because just as you and I being in relationship really matters, the parts of me being in relationship to one another also really matters. Because of course, joy can put sorrow into perspective, and sorrow can be inside joy. And as we know, with the complexities of grief, love and loss are just a hair's breadth away from one another. Like they're in relationship. They are, the truth of it is they are in relationship with one another. And so as we cultivate that for ourselves, that these different pieces of us can be present, it feels like we can live the richness of the possibility of humanness. And we watched a film last night, and this is what it felt like to me. Like it was a portrait of a lady on fire. And I was like, there were so many multitudes present in me that I felt were intended in the film, of grief and of loss and of love and of passion and of wanting and of deprivation and of being trapped. And it was all there. And it was so whole, you know, I experienced it as so whole. And it needed all of those things. It needed all of those things in order for this human to feel like it was the many chambered, the mirror of the many chambered heart that I have. And I haven't even really processed the film yet, so I haven't really spoken about it, but I'm also really at a loss as to how to talk about it because of how impactful it has been. And so that richness and that expression is, of course, isn't separate to me. And so this many chambered heart thing that we have spoken about lots of times seems to me the most appropriate way of relating to our experience, because it is really complex. We're never one thing. You're never one thing. Our relationship is never one thing. And so I so appreciate this invitation from Nina to let it all be here at the same time. And then to feel into what that makes me when it's all present.
So I am so glad you're talking about films. I'm going to say something about that. Just the feeling of, as you have this line, one line from Nina's poem, and yes, this one too. And I got wondering whilst you were talking. I was feeling into the many situations in which, particularly in relationships, in which I felt like I am one thing and the other person is one thing. And often when that's difficult, that's when I wish, not this one, but this, you know, not this friend, but that one, not this family, but that one, not this me, but that one. But what that is to do is to take apart and imagine that it's the whole. Mm-hmm. So if I feel like all that's here is my disappointment or my anger or my frustration, and if I feel like all that's there is your disapproval or disappointment, then what I'm doing is I'm taking a part of me and a part of you as the whole of me and the whole of you, and forgetting that there is a whole.
Yeah.
And that what we're talking about here is the invitation into being in relationship to wholes, not parts. And when we can soften into, when we can open to the whole, I can feel the truth in what you're saying that I might not like if we're in a difficult situation, but also feel your care and your love and your excellence and your creativity and your depth and your confusion and your sadness and your joy. And I can feel all of that in me. Then we open into this host of stories. We can find out together that there are so many things going on here, so many processes of relationship going on here, and that what's most present to us right now, the one that's come forward most energetically, is just one of many. And that it's an act of remembering, and it's an act of reclaiming, and it's an act. And I got wondering whether part of what makes this difficult for us, it would be so hard to tell because we're right on the inside of it, is that we have all grown up in the late 20th, early 21st century period of time, which has been where culture has been very, very dedicated into taking things into parts, like everything's a machine, and you can take a part and you can manipulate it and you can work with it, you can have a technique for it. So here's my technique for dealing with someone who's angry with me, instead of letting myself be someone who is sensitive to and receptive of the whole of someone. We don't have that language. It's even a very, very strange language to talk about. But it's a language that is in many human cultures over many periods of time, and many people have written and thought about. And here's Nina doing this for us in poetry. Mm. So I think that's, for me, is part of the resolution to the simplicity of this, of going, yes, 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 there are many stories. Beyond that is being sensitive to wholes, whole, the wholeness. And anyway, my film story, I love Portrait of a Lady on Fire, but the one that's very present for me right now, it's a couple of years ago, I took myself off on my own to see a very frightening film called A Quiet Place, which I love. Which presents itself as a film which is a terrifying film about an end of the world scenario in which everyone is fleeing from these very, very violent creatures that can hear but not see. And so everyone's having to learn to be very, very quiet so as not to get gobbled up by the monsters that are everywhere. It's terrifying. Mm. It's also a film about love. It's about how we take care of one another. It's about how extraordinary it can be to receive love and care from one another, the ways in which we can look out for one another. And I remember going, because I was getting onto this thing that you're talking about, Liz, is that I could feel that the parts of me that I was most in contact with were already the terrified parts. Mm. And I wondered what would happen if I could go and be somewhere where I could feel the terrified parts has their place, like they were honored because they were these frightening monsters. But could I at the same time do what Nina's inviting, which is to sit in the film and go, yes, this terror and this love. Mm. Yes, this fear and this wonder that people make films, which are frankly extraordinary, and that we can sit and we can receive from one another these amazing creations. Could I let myself hold all of that simultaneously? Mm. And it was such an extraordinary experience to do this, to have my relationship with a film be a way that I got to practice exactly what Nina's asking us. Yes, this joy and this sorrow. So it's really got me wondering as you're talking about, because of course there are places where we can practice this with people. We can go out into the garden or into the park and sort of go, yes, this, and we could feel our way into all the ands that are present. And we could sometimes practice this. Often it's in our relationship with people that we find the most difficulty in this, the most sort of heated difficulty. Maybe we could practice the invitation of Nina's poem. There's a way to practice it in relationship with whatever and whoever comes along.
Yeah.
Portrait of a Lady on Fire and A Quiet Place being two film examples, trees and streams and rivers and the things in our houses and the people that we meet on the bus that we don't even know. Can we feel into the yes, the this and this, just as we sit or stand alongside them or opposite them?
My goodness. I can feel myself kind of expanding as we're talking. And it's like my many chambered heart is not only many chambered, but it's got like really big or something. Like I can feel the complexity, you know, the conversation's showing me the richness of complexity, and it's really beautiful and also quite a large experience, if you know what I mean. Like the thing about A Portrait of a Lady on Fire is it's like it's so big inside of me right now that I don't even know how to distinguish out something to say. So I think it's also an amazing practice to even be able to say what's going on when there's all these multitudes in us happening at the same time. So I'm really glad to have a chance to try and do that with you, Justin, and wander in and find language where it feels difficult. So thank you. And just again to say thank you to Nina for inviting this and being a person whose heart is truly many, many chambered. And I know about Nina that she's one of the people that I could take anything to and she would be curious and interested in it rather than judgmental about it or have an opinion already. She'd genuinely be asking, oh, what's that? And so I think to have these many chambered hearts means that when someone comes along where one of those particular chambers is required, we can rely on it being there as an open chamber that has experience or feeling or openness towards many, many different things. So I'm really grateful for that. Thank you, Justin, as always, for wandering in here with me. It's very wonderful. And we're going to be back next week on Sunday again here live on Facebook. And of course, you might be listening on Instagram or Spotify or wherever. And just to say thank you for being with us. Thank you for being in the conversation with us. We've said it many times, but we're not alone here, Justin, are we? We can feel it with all the conversations we have outside of here, people who listen and watch, and it is quite something that we're building on number 222 as well. It feels significant somewhere. So thank you everybody for being with us, and we will be seeing you next week again.